It is morning. It's definitely morning, I think. And it's the news, according to me. Yeah, I was a little slow on the old trigger finger there. Usually I like to have the music kick on right when I say me. That's, you know, it's important. It's what you expect. You expect that quality click. The sharpness, the focus, the determination, the professionalism that affords itself here at the News According to Me studios. I'm at the home studio this morning, and I only have one drink in front of me because I've already drank my chai. So I've got that, you know, I've got that boost of whatever it is that makes me talk fast. It's already flowing through my veins. So I have this morning, I have my backup cup, which just has basically just my own homemade sweet tea. I made some more yesterday. I've actually gone through my gallon. I think I made a gallon. What is today? Today's Thursday, July 14th. Almost like the 4th of July with an extra one on it. It's 8:27 a.m. I'm going to start getting up earlier, I guess, and doing my show. The problem with getting up early until I get my sound booth in here is that unless I go to my studio to do it, which that's what I probably should be doing. Just going to my studio. The professional headquarters of the News According to Me, where the whole staff is there working tirelessly all day, day in and day out, night and day. I think they know the difference between night and day. That's what they're working on right now. They're working on the difference between night and day so that we'll know that. We can pass that along to you when we figure it out. So we have the home studio here. There's so much activity going on here in the morning that it would be impossible for me to do anything without all kinds of background racket until I get this new sound booth done. So the problem with there's the dogs. There's two of them. One of them's 90 pounds. It's a Beauceron. Kind of looks like a Rottweiler colored, actually probably closer to a Doberman Pinscher colored German Shepherd is kind of the way they look. They're a French breed. They used them. They're about 300 years old. My dog's not 300 years old. The breed is about 300 years old. Just to be clear on that, because I know some of you have, you know, you don't do quick math. This is the show where you can kick back and not have to worry about doing math. I'll do it for you. I might have to put this on the back of my motorhome. I just saw this picture of it's the back of a trailer. I guess the guy's a trucker, but he's going to some kind of protest. This might have been in Canada, actually. I think it was in Canada, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I don't know where it was. But it has an American flag on the back, though. So the trucker protest in D.C. that was going on. It says, Trucking for Freedom, and it's got a picture of a flag, and it says, We the People on the flag. And then it says, underneath that, it says, We the People are peed off. Only it says, the word, I'm not going to use the word, not that I've never used the word, not that I'm above using the word, I'm just not going to use it. It's kind of interesting, and it says, Donations Welcome, Venmo. Of course, he got his little thing on there. Then, so apparently that's pretty much describes it, I guess. Pretty much. That's pretty good. Some interesting stuff going on. Let's just talk about the Biden family here for a moment. I might get into some things a little bit later. I still need to get into my cup. I haven't gotten into my cup yet. I got this great big huge cup that I'm going to get into here. the whole thing about the morning time issues, what I was discussing before, because everybody wants to hear about this. So I got these two dogs. One of them's a Rottweiler, Rottweiler-looking dog. Everybody thinks he's a Rottweiler, but he's got a big bushy tail. If you've ever seen 101 Dalmatians, the cartoon, which I don't like the depiction of this, but the leader of the dog pack, that's the bad dogs. That dog is a Beauceron. Yeah. He's French. Yeah. So we know how tough that can be. That's why they lost. So I'm just kidding. All my French friends, listeners out there in France. It's breakfast time. So I would like an omelette de fromage. That's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I know in Spanish. Or what is that? They speak Spanish there? French Spanish. Some kind of... It's racist. Probably all racist to speak French there in France now. So the... it's French Canadian. More like French Canadian or French American or French fries. I don't know what it is. It's French toast. Maybe. I don't know. Is there such a thing? It probably wasn't even invented in France. Probably didn't come from France. It's like pizza. It didn't come from Italy. Not the way we do it, anyway. Kind of like Canadian bacon. There is no such thing. You go to Canada and you ask for bacon. And it doesn't come, like, it's not Canadian bacon. They just give you bacon. They call it something like sliced pork or whatever. I don't know what they call it. Seared pork. I don't know what they call it. Something else. They don't call it that. Pork ends. Pork chips. Some kind of pork. I don't know. Stick a fork in it. It's, so in my cup now, I have this sweet tea that I made. See, the problem with getting up early, let me get back to that. I got to get to this point. I've got these dogs and I've got a cat. So I've got to get up. The dogs have to go outside. Only one of them will go outside initially. The Aussie, the Australian Shepherd, wants to go outside and pee all over everything because that's what he does. And so he does that. It's pretty much like a big, have you ever been to Vegas and you've seen those great big, or any of those tourist parky type places? And you see all the water fountain displays, crazy stuff. It's kind of like that in my backyard when I let the dog out. And so that when that's over, he's done sniffing and peeing on everything. He comes running back in because he knows he's going to get a treat. Because we give him these little 8-in-1 pills. They're not really pills. It's like a supplement. It's like a squishy kind of goopy supplement. The Aussie won't eat it by itself unless you give it. Now, I have gotten him to eat it occasionally. The Beauceron will eat anything. You just stick it under his nose and he'll just, well, okay, I'm going to eat that. And so the spare tire gets gone. All I have to do is offer the Beauceron one of these pills, these little supplement pill things, chewies. And then the Aussie, all of a sudden, he'll take one. Kind of reluctantly, but he'll take it. Sometimes he'll take it in his mouth and he'll spit it out again. Just lay it there. Like, you didn't put any chicken in this. So we get chicken occasionally. Those little roaster chickens, you know. We get those occasionally. And, of course, we de-skin that stuff. Because it's just, the skin is just, you know, not the good part. It's tasty, but it's not the best part for you, by the way. So a lot of times we have this chicken skin left over from all the stuff. And we put that in a little containers. We slice it up so it's small. And we put it in these little containers for the dogs for treats. And we'll let them eat it. But what I do is I take one of these little slices of the chicken skin and I put that in my, I take the pill thing and I squish it around so that it kind of makes like a pig in a blanket, only it's a chicken in a blanket kind of thing. And I put that in the dog would just, of course, he can, you know, now I'm fooling him. He thinks he's getting to the chicken by eating through the pill. So now all of a sudden he wants the pill really bad. But he'll stand next to me, or not stand next to me, but he'll sit down and look up at me like he knows he has to behave to get this treat very, very obediently, very calm, submissive, just sits there. I'll give him the treat. And so I have to make that treat for him. And of course, now I have this chicken skin stuff all over my fingers, which gets on the other one. So that, you know, that now the Beauceron really likes his as well. So they all know. That's the morning routine around here when I'm home. So when about 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, something like a 6:30 usually, the alarms start going off about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then they go off for about an hour. But I digress. I'm not going to even get into that whole thing. So the dogs, of course, they know it's time for our little pill. We want our snack. Of course, the Aussie wants to go out and do his little water show in the back park. backyard there. So the Beauceron starts barking. Well, Beauceron doesn't want to go out. Beauceron wants his treat. He knows that it's time for the routine to happen. So he just starts barking. He's got a big bark. I think the whole neighborhood shakes when he barks. Goes outside and he looks a bark out in the front yard just to let everybody know he's here. And he's so bashful. He doesn't want anybody coming around. So he just starts barking to keep everybody away. And it's not a mean bark. It's just a bark like, roof, roof, roof. It's not like, rawr, rawr, rawr. It's more like a, I'll record it sometime and let you hear it. It's interesting. So they do this whole routine thing. And then the dog, the Beauceron lays down while I take the Aussie out in the back, come back in, give him these pills. Then they know that after I have breakfast, they're going to go out front. So I let them out front. We have a fairly large yard with nothing around us. There's no highways or we live at the end of a dead end street. So it's not like they can run out in traffic or anything. So it's got about 7 acres. They just run around. The Beauceron stays right by the house. The Aussie occasionally goes down to the neighbors, sniffs around and pees down there, does a little water show for them. I usually call him right back. And usually he realizes he's gone too far. Comes right back. He's a pretty smart dog. Aussies and collies and Australian shepherds tend to be, what do they call them? Those little shepherd, yeah. Oh, I'll think of it later. There's another, not Australian shepherd. It's Australian shepherd, collie, and something else. Really smart dogs. So the border collies, that's what I'm thinking of, border collies. I guess it'd be a part of the collie family. Yeah, there was a riff in the family at one point. We had an Aussie border collie mix one time, and really, really, really good dog. Probably one of the best dogs we ever had. Really miss that dog. Had him. He was about 16 years old when he finally passed, but he was a really good dog. But I digress. So these dogs. They have their little routine. Well, they come back in and they get this little dentist stick thing for their teeth. So they know they're going to get that. So they come running back. They go out and do their thing out front. Now, this time the Beauceron has to go outside. Beauceron goes outside. And he does all this stuff. And he comes back in. He's all proud of himself. And then they get their dentist stick. Then I can do the show. Because then they'll settle down and be quiet for a while. In the meantime, if my wife is up, she's running around upstairs, and unfortunately, the floor above where I do this recording, even though I have this like little sound booth kind of made with all kinds of foam and stuff around it, it does not keep the sound out very well. At least I can hear it. I don't know if it gets on a recording or not. But if you work in this business very long of doing voiceover work and recording stuff, any outside noise you hear, you assume is going on the recording, and probably people wouldn't really care. I mean, I've heard guys on the radio sitting at a diner doing their radio show from like a restaurant with clanging, plates clanging in the background and all kinds of stuff going on. It doesn't bother, and people don't seem to be bothered by that too much. It bothers the daylights out of me. I can't stand that. So I have to, for my own sanity, I can't do the show during that. Now, if I was doing a voiceover recording for somebody, there would be absolutely unable to do that. There has to be clarity in the absolute clarity. No clanging of the, like right now, you can probably hear my clanging on my seat chair here. I got my chair thing. I can make it squeak. I can do all kinds of stuff. I can move around. I do not do that when I'm doing a voiceover recording. It is absolutely dead silent in the background. In fact, I just heard my stomach growl, which I don't know why, because I've already eaten breakfast, so I don't. Anyway, I'm 15 minutes into the show, and I've not even done anything, not even talked about Joe Biden yet. And I've got about 2 hours of material here. By the way, thanks for listening to the show this morning. If you're new to the show, this is a show about nothing. And it's my little, how nothing affects me. And my opinion on nothing. It's a show about just about everything. But not really anything. It's just a smattering of whatever's on my mind. I just blurt it out and talk about it. typically about politics, and it's usually a rant. It's kind of my morning therapy session, getting it out there. And hopefully it helps you, because you can connect with somebody who you realize they have the same, you know, that you're not going crazy. I guess that's the thing I think I'm offering to people. I try to figure out what it is I'm trying to do here sometimes. Kind of like Joe Biden. Where am I supposed to go? What am I doing? What is this podium for? I thought this podium got stolen by the insurrectionist. I get into this thing where I wonder, you know, who am I helping here? What should the show be about? But you know, the ranting, some people kind of criticize the ranting, negative, always negative ranting attitude. Well, you know what? Sometimes we need to hear just that part of it to get some balance in life. Because if we just ignore the negative stuff that's going on, now, granted, there needs to be some positivity. And this relates totally to my first little story here that I want to talk about. I've already got it queued up in the recording stuff. I'm kind of loaded this morning with something. Normally, I just have like 4 words on a screen here that I want to try to keep myself straight on. I want to make sure I talk about those 4 things. I usually forget something. All day long, like after the show, I'll hear something on the news. Because I kind of keep my ear pretty close to the ground on YouTube and other channels and social news stories. And I'll listen to some stuff and I'll think, well, I got to talk about that tomorrow on the show. By the way, welcome to the 400th episode. In fact, I was thinking about having a live episode. This is the 400th episode, and I was going to have it live because I was going to celebrate the 400th episode. However, I think what I'm going to do is have a live episode, not just an emotional breakdown episode. I'm going to have which I'll do that later on, but I want to have a live episode. I think tonight is going to work, or late this afternoon, I think, is actually going to work for that. I think I'm actually going to be able to fit that in. I'm actually going to make a point of actually doing it. It could be tomorrow morning, but tomorrow morning is going to be kind of a busy day for me, and I'm not sure I'll be able to pull it off in the morning. However, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to stream as much as I possibly can on every platform that I can. I'm going to try this out and see how it works. I've got... I might start doing this once a week. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I do still have Rumble. Still have an account with Rumble. I'm going to try to stream on Rumble. I might even try to stream on YouTube, possibly. That one will probably get blocked and knocked down. And then I also might try to stream, granted, it could just be audio. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work for sure. Or I might try to... And also, it'll be on Podbean. Of course, that's the easy one. That's kind of the main platform I'll be on. So Podbean, Rumble, potentially YouTube. If I do Rumble, it'll probably be video, I would think. I'll probably do video. There's not much to see unless I can put it together some kind of video clips that I can throw in there or something. But anyway, there you go. And it's either going to be at the main, if it's at the main studio, I'll probably have, be doing a video. If it's not at the main headquarters, if it's here at the home studio, it may just be audio. So just be aware of that. I'm taking a long time here. Let's dive into some things this morning with the whole Jill Biden thing. Let's start with that, because it really is the most ridiculous thing that's been in the news lately. And one of the things that really bothers me about the Jill Biden thing, not so much that she said tacos and all that stuff. I know she's getting slammed for it. Big deal. She's not the president. Now she's the puppeteer. She holds him up and she's like the, you know, Weekend at Bernie's, kind of holding him up and propping him up and telling him where to go. She is that. But I'm not so sure she's making policies, and she's not in any cabinet meetings, as far as I know. All she does is change the diapers afterwards. So I'm not sure what difference this makes. Now, she went out and made this speech. And I always hate it when the media picks on, no matter which side of the aisle you're on. I don't like it when the news media picks on family members. Especially when they're grown adults. Now, the case of Hunter Biden, we have an issue here of one, compromise, as well as some nefarious activity where people were obviously buying influence. I mean, you want to talk about the Trump family. CNN and MSNBC went nuts over emoluments and all kinds of issues of money, and the Trump, you know, the kids were doing this and that, and they had these business deals going on. The only reason that they talk about this stuff, in fact, in my opinion, is because they know it happens among politicians. So they just assumed it happened with Donald Trump. And after all the investigations, the Mueller investigation, the who knows what other investigation, and all the impeachment investigations and everything else that went on, nothing was ever found. We have a phone call. He talked to the president of President Zelensky from Ukraine. Rudy Giuliani went to Ukraine. They went to Russia and got a bunch of information. He's a puppet. He's a Putin puppet. Yeah, this. Let me tell you, a Putin puppet. Here's what a Putin puppet wouldn't do. Wouldn't stand in Merkel's face over in Germany and say, "You need to stop buying Russian oil." That's a pretty bad puppet. That's a puppet that's gone awry. Just the little things that Trump would say about Russia and his policies towards Russia, which kept Russia out of Ukraine, by the way. His stance on energy and all this other stuff he was doing with the treaties he made not being a part of the Paris Accord. All this kind of stuff, getting out of the Iran deal, kept Vladimir Putin in check. He couldn't move. Yeah, he got involved in Syria. It's the only thing he could do. In the meantime, he was working behind the scenes because he knew Trump wouldn't always be there. If anybody wanted Trump out of office, it was Vladimir Putin. He was not a puppet of Putin. I think he respected Trump, but he didn't like him. He was putting the kibosh on a lot of things that Vlad would have liked to have done. I think some of what you're seeing now is retaliation for what happened, in fact. He's trying to seize the opportunity here because he knows he's getting to be an older man. He sees weakness right now from America. The United States has been very weak in a lot of ways. Now, I think that Vlad knows, and he's put this together in his head. He was a CIA, or he was a Secret Service guy over there, or whatever he was, the special Nazi, whatever they call our people over there, KGB. He was one of those guys. And he's not dumb. Now, you know, the longer he stretches out the war in Ukraine, the more money we keep spending over there. And the more we keep spending over there, the more the Democrats and some other people from establishment Republicans get involved up to their necks in all kinds of dirty, nefarious activity as well. Now, there's no accountability to where this money's going. I just saw a small report about something about money having been, it's a dirty little secret. They're not talking about this. There's a whole bunch of money and arms stolen over there. And there's no accountability as to how much of this is actually getting to the front lines. How much of this money is actually helping it? I mean, we're talking billions of dollars here. And every day they keep talking about a million here, a million there. We're going to give them 40 million. We're going to give them 700 million. Give them another 40 million, 400 million. They keep throwing these little packages out there. And they don't, because that's a small amount. We don't think about that too much. It's a little bit spooky, folks, the way they're printing money that ends up back in the coffers of certain politicians or their bag people. Anyway. that then funnels back, percentages of it funnel back into their campaigns to pay off mules, of course. But I digress. I digress again. This should be a digression show. Let's talk about Jill Biden. This whole thing, she's over there making a speech, and she's wherever she was, and she was doing this little thing in front of grown, these are grown adults. Listen to the words she says. Now, I usually play stuff on here. Usually when I play recordings, I play them at faster speed. And I usually listen to stuff in faster speed because that way I can listen to twice as much in the same amount of time. And it's not, I'm not, I'm getting the information, but I'm not spending, instead of spending an hour listening to a show, I'm spending a half an hour. And most of the shows today, typically the news clips and stuff that I listen to are typically 4 to 5 minutes long, sometimes 10 minutes long, and which cuts it down to, you know, 5-6 minutes or even less than that if it's a shorter show, shorter clip. Which saves me a lot of, I can blast through a lot of information very quickly and pick up the gist of what they're saying. So it's that's the way I listen to stuff. That's how I plow through so much material in a short period of time. And I usually listen to it while I'm doing something else. I'm doing something mundane, like washing dishes or whatever I'm doing. I'll listen to that kind of stuff or driving the car or whatever. I do listen to some local. I think the chai is wearing off. I listen to some local radio talk show guys as well. Casey Hendricks is really good. And then we all, you know, of course, there's, you know, Dan Bongino's in the afternoon on the radio here. And, you know, I like Dan. He's not my cup of tea in terms of the way he talks. I think it's just the New York thing. I realize nobody can replace Rush. And I guess the time slot that he's in just reminds me too much that Rush is gone. And it's, there, I'm sorry, there's just a big hole in the afternoon for me. Nobody was as eloquent. Nobody has been able to communicate, I think, with the American people. And while he didn't necessarily, his show was not necessarily set up to be educational. He really was educational. I wish that there was somebody out there who was even better at that part of things, who could explain individual rights and the foundation of our liberty, the foundation of our, what our Constitution was built on. Because the Republican Party, which is supposed to be the party that is the keeper of those things, does not do a very good job explaining and educating the, you know, I think Ron DeSantis might have put something in place in the state of Florida having to do with better teaching on the Constitution and what patriotic type teaching within the school. Now that can go overboard. That can go crazy. Now, when I was in grade school, this just didn't happen in high school, but it did in grade school. Back in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, the class stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning. And the principal of the school would lead us in a prayer. Public school. This was a standard thing in 85 to 90% of the schools in this country. That's the way we started the day. But oh, how we have progressed. We have been enlightened and awoken. And now we don't do that anymore because, you know, discrimination and separation of church and state. Now we just have school shootings and cops in school and promiscuity beyond belief in high schools. And we wonder why. So Jill Biden gets up and speaks to these adults. And if you play it in real time, not in twice, you know, if, when you play Joe actually in 1.25 time or 1.5 or even 2 times the speed, because you can do that and he sounds normal. He actually sounds intelligent and like he has almost like he's crisp and back to his own self again. This guy has slowed down about, I would say, 30 to 40% in his cognitive ability. And I've been one of those guys who have said for a long time, I didn't think he was going to make it to the first of the year. I really didn't think he was going to make it past January. I don't know what they're juicing this guy up on, but I'm really impressed with the drugs that they've been giving him because apparently he's actually been able to pull this. Now, you have to understand, being in the public eye all the time and being in the activity he's done, he can practically do it in his sleep because he's done this for years and years and years. He's been involved in politics. He can just get up and read a speech. That's all he does is just he gets up and read a speech. End of quote. Repeat the line. Like, and he puts like emphasis in it. He actually does it like as if it's part of his own. He's like he's saying it himself. I mean, that's pretty good for a voiceover artist. One of the things that's kind of big right now in the marketing world is being able to have a guy next door, like you're talking to a friend. That's one of the things I see a lot of times on auditions. I'll say, like you're talking to your friend about this issue. Hey, you know, if you want a tool down at Menards, you got this. But it's just, it's more, they want this inflection, I call it. Kind of a bouncy, more of a bouncier tone, not, ladies and gentlemen, today on the news, they don't want that anymore. They don't want the radio broadcast guy. They want just the regular guy next door talking to a friend. Has emotional content, a connection, if you will. Just like I'm talking to you right now. It sounds more natural. They write the scripts. You know, sometimes they'll even say, so just say this in your own word. Like if I'm doing a directed phone call type audition or voiceover work. So just paraphrase it and say it the way you would say it. I've had that actually happen a couple of times, and they've actually used it several times. Because they like that natural tone that connects with people, like they're talking to somebody that cares about them. Well, that's what he's very good at that. I think he can do that on autopilot. I mean, he's not as good as he used to be, probably, but he can do it. End of quote. Repeat the line. And he even uses his hands. He puts his hands out with his palms up. Repeat the line. Now, you know he didn't write this. He didn't. He's just reading. He's just sight reading this thing. I understand somebody gets tired, you know, in the middle of the day. Gets tired. Going to do some weird things. I've done, you know, I've read some weird stuff into scripts that wasn't there. It happens to people, folks. But the thing that bothers me is not that she talked about tacos and all that stuff. The thing that really bothers me is the way she was talking to people. So that's the kind of thing I notice. I notice the content, but there has to be a foundation of what someone is saying that they actually believe what they're saying. Or I don't buy in. The way she was talking was like she was talking to a 2-year-old. And she has some inflection in her voice and some way she pronounces some of her words. I don't. And whether it's the bogadas of whatever to the tacos of San Francisco, breakfast tacos of San Francisco. But she'll say it in a very slow, maybe this is the way she has to talk to Joe all the time. So she's just used to talking this way, and that's the way she talks to everybody this way. But she talks in a manner that she's talking to a 2-year-old. That's what I find offensive about what she said. I think everybody should be offended by that, regardless of whether you're, quote, Latinx, Latinx, as Joe would say. However you want to pronounce that. They don't even like that, by the way. If you're Latinos, if you're whatever you are, whatever minority group they're talking to, whatever group that they think is on their plantation, if they are talking very slowly to you like they're talking to a two-year-old. Are you going to go out and play today? This is the way she talks. Now, granted, she has her doctorate in education. Okay, so she's not a medical doctor. I'm talking school doctorate. Like educational doctorate, not educational in a particular thing, like having a doctorate or a DNP and director of, you know, like a doctorate in nursing practice or something like that. No, it's just a doctorate of education. And I think that's must be in kindergarten stuff, because that's basically the way she talks to people. Like I said, maybe that's because she talks to Joe all the time. That's how she has to talk to him. It's time to put your shoes on now, Joe. Oh, Joe. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. So I got this audio recording. That's the thing that bothers me about it. Now Joe, I talked about this the other day, so I'm going to talk about it again today because I'm on this repeat mode. Right, I'm in a rut. Okay, officially today I have my third cup of chai in a row, third day in a row. This morning, I'm officially in a rut. My cup is in a rut, even though I drank it all before I got down here because, stuff. And I realize that the earlier I get my show out there, typically the more listens I get. I'm not sure why that is. It's exponential. Sometimes it's like twice as much if I get the show out there before 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now it's 9:05. Probably nobody's going to be listening because everybody's going to be at work already. Unless you're on the West Coast, nobody listens. I don't think anybody on the West Coast listens to this show. Maybe if you are on the West Coast and you listen to this show, please encourage me by saying something about it on the comments. But it's all I ask, because we don't, for what we charge for this show, it's expensive. I realize you're paying a lot of money to listen to this, listen to my pipes here, ranting every day. But we do have listeners. Apparently, I've got some listeners who listen every day. Because the numbers are pretty steady, and there's like followers and stuff on different platforms. That I'm kind of flattered by that. I mean, I'm kind of floored by that actually. But it's very humbling. I do want to thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate that. It's better for my sanity. It's like I said, this is more therapy for me, and hopefully for you, knowing that somebody out there, knowing that you're not crazy, and this is reality. What you're thinking is actually, it's reality. This is okay. I'm not just nuts here. I'm just, somebody else thinks this too. Maybe a whole bunch more people think this kind of stuff. Look at this stuff the same way, because we're sane. Okay. So we have, we're critical thinkers, whatever it is. We're geniuses. Don't tell anybody. Okay. Pay them more. That's what Joe would say. Change my diaper. I shouldn't go there. I apologize. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sure he's listening. The interesting thing that what Joe, I was talking about this the other day, but I kept thinking about it more and more. And the thing about this one news reporter who kind of cornered Joe, we didn't really corner him. Joe was walking by and he shouted out something about, how do you feel about this poll with 64% of people not, of Democrats? Democrats we're talking about. This is like 30 to 35% of the voting populace out there. 64% of them, of his party, doesn't want him to run again. Now, talking about Joe running in 2024 is such a stupid question. Is he going to run again in 2024? Why don't you let him get through the first 2 years? Another 2 years of this guy, you really think? I mean, I'm shocked that he's made it this far. I'll give him kudos for making it this far. Whoever's propping him up, they're doing an awesome job of keeping him alive and keeping him actually able to do anything at all. I'm shocked and amazed. But like I said, he can do it in his sleep, which I think he does most of the time. However, I don't think he's going to make another 2 years, folks. I just the decline, the the more he declines, the faster he declines. And I just see this gradual thing happening over the next year. He's going to be a mess. And the stress of the job and everything else that goes along with it, I just don't think it's going to last. Now, you can tell by his reaction to this reporter. If Donald Trump, which I think on occasion he did challenge reporters this way, but he was a monster when he did it. And I think they did it on purpose. Like Jim Acosta would sit over there and, "Mr. President, are you doing it? Mr. President, are you doing it?" And he would be like back in the middle of nowhere where he knew nobody could hear him. He knew the president couldn't hear him. But he was back there asking questions because he knew the news media could hear him. It was all about the optics of, I'm shouting out all these questions. I know the president can't hear me, but the other news media organizations, they're recording me asking these questions. And that's really what this is about. It's all about the optics. It's all about, in this case, the audios. Audiox, whatever. So this is what this guy's shouting out these questions to Joe as he's kind of walking by with all of his security detail. Here again, this is where you stop looking at Joe and look around the people. Look at the people around him. I've never seen the Secret Service that I can remember in my lifetime. I never remember seeing the Secret Service behind when Joe starts to talk. They're actually rolling their eyes. Oh, geez, he's talking again. Well, you know, they're looking around for, you know, weapons and guns and security and all that stuff. But they're, you can just tell they are really tired of this guy, listening to this guy ramble on. He kind of steps out of line as he's walking wherever he's going from one point to another, where they're telling him to go. And goes over and kind of, listen, get your facts straight, Jack. Listen to the polls. Now, the problem with this, and we're gonna play this audio because this was via Sky News Australia. There's background music here, so it will be playing in the background. But if you might notice that. You might not, I don't know. But the point of it is, I appreciate them putting it on here. But this clip is all over everywhere. So we'll play it right now and see what you think. This is Joe being accosted by being cornered, not so much, being questioned about the polls.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
read
don't.
Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
Okay, this is someone who's living in denial, folks. And I'm not talking about the river in Egypt. We're saying Joe is not listening. If Joe is listening to this, looking at this poll and thinking that there's anything at all positive about it, he doesn't understand polls. Now, KJP, I guess she's being called now, because now she's a rap artist, I guess, as well. Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP. She has the same initials as someone I know, actually, which is kind of interesting. Kind of scary, actually. If she will get up there and say, well, we don't pay attention to the polls. Any politician, especially on the left, any politician who tells you they don't pay attention to the polls or the polls don't mean anything to them is probably, unless they're outside the establishment, they are lying through their teeth. That's one way of finding out if a politician is a liar. Ask them about, what do you think about this poll? Oh, I don't pay attention to the polls. My first two words that want to come out of my mouth, one begins with bull, and the second one is hockey. I don't understand how you made it this far in politics and didn't care about the polls. Maybe you don't care about the polls, but I guarantee you everybody in your administration cares about the polls. And all the information you get and the things that you're told to say are all based on, guess what? The polls. They have their own little groups that they go to. They call all these people together. Sometimes they have think tank meetings where that's all they talk about is polls. How does this word poll? If we use the word MAGA, ultra MAGA, let's use the word ultra MAGA. So, one of the funniest clips, I think, on MSNBC, I think it was, or maybe it was CNN. They talk about, and they know, because it's out. Everybody knows that there was a focus group. They worked on this for like a month. What's the most derogatory term we can use, and something we can use? Ultra MAGA. And of course, then Psaki, Circleback, she comes out and says, that was the president's phrase. He used it, and he came up with that, and he's going to go with that. So the funniest thing was when a CNN reporter's head was coming off talking about this. He said, "Well, they just hijacked it and took it and started selling merch," which they do. They got T-shirts now that say "I'm ultra MAGA." That kind of thing drives them nuts. It's kind of like the deplorable statement that Rick came up with. I'm a deplorable. I'm ultra deplorable. I'm an ultra deplorable MAGA. Now, do we want Trump to run again? This is another thing I hear getting bantered around. I just don't want the circus again, the whole media circus to happen again. All the lies and the stuff that they're going to say. I think that DeSantis can do a better job. Well, guess what? If DeSantis steps in if he has an R behind anybody who steps forward with an R behind their name, unless it's some phony left-wing Democrat that steps in, anybody who steps in, even if it's Liz Cheney, she will become, anybody who steps into that position with the R behind their name turns into a racist devil that is a Russian puppet. It's going to crash the economy, kill everybody, hates babies. It doesn't matter who you've been in the past. If it's been more than 2 weeks, they're going to vilify you from one side to the other. Mitt Romney didn't learn his lesson still. He still goes along with this whole idea of, I need to impeach Trump. And look at the accolades I'm getting. Oh, whatever happened to Mitt Romney? Oh, they stopped talking to him because now it's Liz Cheney. They're the useful tools. Adam Kinzinger, same thing. This is a man who believed that the ghost of Kiev or whatever, what were they calling it? That one fighter pilot that was supposedly shooting all the Russians down. He believed that. He actually believed that story. He's all in on the whole Ukraine thing. He's totally all about that. Probably got some kind of organization over there that's making all kinds of money. Yeah, well, my organization's going to get $500 million over there. I'm going to get a couple million of that. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just alleging all this stuff. I don't know. It's just all theory. Because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an economist. I'm not a politician. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a marine biologist. Now they're saying that, this is interesting. I think it was Dr. Drew. Is that the guy's name? He was on Gutfeld the other day. By the way, speaking of Gutfeld, I just want to say there are a lot of people who are into an alternative lifestyle on Fox who are not terribly vocal about it. I think if the truth be known, and that's the thing, Republicans really don't care. If you're that way, just don't put it in my face. Just don't push it on me like I have to be that. Not just that I have to accept it. But all of a sudden now, if I don't want to be that, all of a sudden I'm a homophobe. A little exchange between Josh Hawley and the professor the other day about, you're denying that trans people exist. Well, I'm not just by asking the question of, can a man have a woman or can a man have a baby? All of a sudden I'm transphobic and I'm denying that they exist. Is this the way you talk to your kids in class? It's a pretty interesting exchange. Let's get back to this whole Biden thing. He's living in a weird world where he thinks that 92% of the people who voted for him would vote for him again. Now, he's thinking overall. Overall, this is what he's thinking. 92% of the people who voted for him, all 81 million or whatever it was, out of the 81 million people who voted for him, 73 million would still vote for him today. No, Joe. That's not the way this works. We're talking about Democrats, your party. Read the polls, Jack. Wait a minute here. Wait a minute. He was reading the poll. The poll said, of your party, 64% don't want you to run again. Oh, listen to the polls, Jack. Read the polls, Jack. 92% of them, if I ran again, they'd vote for me again. Really? You think in 2 years that's going to be the case? Now, here's the quandary that we are in right now is that Republicans, of no fault of their own, of nothing that they've earned, they're going to probably sweep the House. My house needs to be swept. I wonder if I could have them over here occasionally. And then the Senate, I think they're going to take the Senate too. I really do believe, especially if things don't improve at this point, gas prices have started to trickle down a little bit. So those of you who don't believe it trickle down, they've come down in price. We'll just say they've come down in price. I know some of you are really like, you hate the idea of trickle down economics. That's what Reagan implemented. Everybody says, oh, that didn't work. It absolutely was working. It was absolutely working. What we're doing now is not working. This is not trickle down. This is trickle up. This is trickle nowhere. This is drought. It's just print more money. I wonder why inflation keeps going out of whack. Just because the gas prices are coming down, everything else is still going. We're in a very bad situation right now. There's some weird stuff going. I'll talk about numbers here in a little bit about Australia, but if I have time, because this is going to be, I've gotten very little content in this show, and it's almost over already. But this talk that he's doing, this is typical of Dem. And this reason I'm bringing this whole story up is because it's very. It kind of epitomizes the way that Democratic Party thinks in terms of the way they try to spin the numbers. He's doing that right in front of you right here. This reporter is saying 64% of the Democrats don't want you to run again. How do you feel about that? Well, the way I feel about that is I'm going to throw it back in your face and say you're not listening to the polls because 92% of them would vote for me again. You have to understand, and I mentioned this yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, you've lost 8% of your party. The one thing you got to say about Trump is all during all the crap that was going on with this guy, among Republicans, he still had like a 99% support rate, supported him. That's like 100%. When you get into taking polls, that's 100%. And he's lost 8% of his own party. You've got all these people coming out on social media saying, I feel like I've been deceived by the Democrat Party, both young voters and older voters. CNN actually, they aired this one little broadcast or this one little interview that this a long time for, she'd always been Democrat. She always voted Democrat, voted for Biden. And basically she said, I feel like I've been duped. What he promised for our kids didn't happen. They're still living in this baloney in blue states. Very disappointed, bewildered. They feel misled and deceived. They're very disgusted by what's going on in the country and in the world. And this is why the Biden, the Hunter laptop really doesn't matter that much. It does matter. I mean, it's to most people, I'm saying, it doesn't matter. It absolutely matters, and it absolutely is a tremendous crime. It's enough that they really need an investigation here, like a real investigation, not one where they – like with Epstein. This is one of the things that we – this is a typical example. Glenn Maxwell goes to prison, like was it 20 years? She has a book with all of her clients in it. The book is not made public. The book is kept sealed by the powers that be. All these people who participated, all this, and now there's some memes coming out. The first person to ever be convicted of trafficking children. And she has no clients. I think the one meme I saw said trafficking children to no one. In other words, who were her clients? Who were the people who were involved in this thing? Not one single person has been prosecuted by this thing. You know why? Because people like Bill Gates, Prince, what's his name, over in England somewhere, were here. Those were her clients. I guarantee you, right next to Hunter's laptop at the FBI is the book with all of her clients in it. This gives the FBI power over those people. They just pull out the little book and say, you better play nice. Give us what we want on our budget. Do what we tell you to do, or this stuff all comes out. We can destroy you. So, be good to us. This is the kind of mafioso we have going on with our FBI right now. I guarantee you, they have the names of everybody in that book. We will never see it. Well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't make any comments. Oh, okay. Well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't put it in the FOIA Act. Can't get a Freedom of Information Act on that. Sorry. Oh, yeah, that's going to go on for how many years? How many years have you had? How many years have you had the Hunter laptop? Yeah, pretty disgusting, really, when you think about it. But these people live in an alternative universe. They're playing games with our lives. Most of these people are in it for their own ill-gotten gain. And everybody else around them is doing it, so they feel like, well, I might as well do it too. You know, that's the way the game's played here in D.C. This is the way the politics game is played. We got to play along. Of course, if you stand up against it, well, we found this. And if they can't find any information on you, they just make something up, i.e. the Steele dossier. They're so good at it because they've got all this other information. They probably just took stories out of you know, Tubin's diary probably or something. Who knows what they did? Because they've already got all this other information. Well, this is all plausible because it all happened. We know what happened to this guy, so we'll just say it happened to that guy. That's the kind of thing we're dealing with here. A lot of stuff coming down. Probably going to have a live show. I'll actually have some content lined up for the live show. I typically try to make those a little bit better. We'll see how it goes. Because I tend to get a little bit distracted by the video stuff and all the stuff that's going on. So I have to have something to keep my mind on track. My hour is quickly coming up on me here. We're at 59 minutes, which I think my outro music is like a minute long. So that puts us right at an hour. Let's see if I can stop the show right at an hour. We'll see if it happens. Hopefully the music lasts long enough. I don't think it's going to. I'm not sure. Now it's got 40 seconds. Oh, it's going to be really close. I think I can pull it off. This recording's going to be right at an hour. If it's not, I'll drink more tea, I guess. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in and being part of my little therapy session here as I rant. It's only for your mental health. That's what I'm going with that story. There's going to be a study come out soon. It's going to be, you know, ranting is good for your mental health. They'll put my picture there, which will just be a yellow thing when it says the news on it, according to me. God bless everybody. Have a great day. 1 hour.